I am. Probably didn't need to be because I was speaking without it. We've been studying the fruit of the Spirit, which is very important because, the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians chapter 5 or 6, somewhere in there. And you can read that, and it's only a couple paragraphs or a couple verses. But to really study them and find out how they work, why they're important, how to function them, how to develop them, that's building the character of Jesus into our lives. And so this is very, very important foundational stuff. Plus, when you understand the fruit of the Spirit in a deeper sense, then you understand the character of God in a deeper sense also, right? So this is not just information. This is in our hearts. We need to realize that we are reading God's word and we're reading about his character. And so we talked about the fruit of faithfulness and faithfulness is a result of our faith. To have faith, everybody says they have faith in God. Well, are you faithful? See, if you got faith in God, then you should do everything his way. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. If you have faith in God, you go through the narrow gate. If you have faith in God, you love your enemy. Why? Because Jesus said to, and it's good for us. Jesus said, forgive from the heart. So we forgive from the heart. We don't just do lip service. See, it's taking everything that God is, what he has. God's a God of love, and here's where so many people miss it. They just want the God of love. But his throne is built on the foundation of righteousness and justice. Whatever you sow, that shall you reap. That's a spiritual law. That's what his throne is built on. And so that, although he is a God of love, he's also a God of order, a God of justice, and a God of righteousness. And he doesn't force us to live righteously. If we want to keep on sinning, well, then he gives us over to the sin. He doesn't, we got free will. So we have to understand God's character. But I always remember the parable of the prodigal son. Wow. The father gave him his full and his half of the inheritance, and he went out and spent it all on wild living and wine and music and song and ended up eating with the pigs and the pigsty. And then he realized, he came to his senses and said, even my father's servants live better than this. I'm going to go back. And then the father accepted him with open hands, because open arms, and threw a party for him, gave him his signet ring of authority, allowed him back in the family. The father was so happy because this son was dead and now he was alive again. He was dead in his relationship to his father, but now he was alive again. And the wisdom of the father to give him what he wanted, it's sort of like you have an alcoholic here. Have some more beer. Get so drunk until you get sick and tired of it and quit drinking. It's sort of, if you want sin, have so much of it, see where it takes you, then come back. And the older brother was upset because, Father, you never threw a party for me. See, the older brother was religious. And the father said, don't you realize that everything I've always had is yours? You could have had a party anytime you wanted. And so there's the difference between religion. And so the older brother didn't have a relationship with the father either. He didn't realize the father and the father's heart and what the father had for him and that it already belonged to him. The other one didn't realize it either, but he went out and lived a wild life and then came back. Now he was appreciative of his father and everything that his father gave him and did for him. So if we have faith, then we should be faithful. Faith without works is a dead faith. This is where so many people get mixed up with works and grace. But if we have faith in God, we should have good works. Because that's faithfulness. But we don't have the good works trying to earn something from God, because he's already given it to us. Righteousness has been accredited to us. We want to become like him. We love him, and so we do these things because we love him. That's our motivation. not to get brownie points, but just it's a love relationship. Jesus said to the apostles, might have been Peter, he said, who's going to love me more? He's been forgiven much or forgiven little? And they, of course, said, well, he's who's been forgiven much. And I know what I came out of, so I just can't stop living for God. I can't stop serving him. But people that have grown up in church and after a while they get, I guess they get confidence in their own goodness. But this is why Paul wrote, that I may be found in him, having no righteousness of my own. And so after a while, you're doing all the right things. Your conscience is pleased because you're going to church, paying your tithes, singing in the choir. But you can do all of that without having a personal relationship with the Lord. And your character is not changing. You're just basically born a decent person and you're kept on being decent and living and following the rules, but still have no concept of grace sometimes because you haven't been forgiven much. That doesn't mean we should go out and sin so that we can appreciate God. That's not the point. The point is that everyone learns to have this personal relationship with God through sacrifice and loving enemies and have no confidence in the flesh. So there's a correlation of faith and faithfulness. All right, we're gonna talk about the functions of the fruit of faithfulness. This is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And love binds them all together in perfect harmony. God is love, but he is also all these other things. And it's to equip believers to exercise stewardship over God's goods. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. We'll read verses 45 to 47. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink and with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everybody's talking about the return of the Lord and all the different theories about the rapture and the timing of the rapture and everything else. And they get into this aspect that Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Well, he's not coming as a thief in the night to people that are faithful. People that are faithful will be aware of his coming because they're in tune with him. God is speaking prophetically to the church. We know what's happening. We know we're getting closer. But if we're not teaching the word, we're not living the word, we're not being faithful, then we're in a spiritual darkness and we will not be aware or even interested in his coming. And the more that we live with him and for him and closer to him, the more aware we are of his program, the more aware we are of everything. And so this is a warning really to the whole church to be faithful, not just have faith. If you are faithful, you are aware of the Lord's coming. In Matthew 25, talks about the parable of the talents. You've all read that before, so we're not going to go through that. But Matthew 25, 14 to 30 is the parable. Verse 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness, or come and share your master's joy. So if we're faithful with what God has given us, then he'll, if we're faithful in the little things, whatever you have, your finances, your relationship with God, your time with God, the people he brings around you, speaking into their lives, praying for them. If you're faithful in the little things, he'll put you in charge of much. And the parable of the talents was the one talent, five talents, and 10 talents, I think. The one who is faithful with five talents would be put in charge of five cities, and the other one would be put in charge of 10 cities. And then the person that had one talent, and he buried it in a cloth, and he said to his master when he came back, I knew you were a hard man that reaped where you have not sown and so forth. And the Lord said to him, or the master said to him, if you really thought I was that was what I was like, then you should have given your talent to the bankers and collected interest on it. In other words, he was saying, I have a fear of God, I might mess up. Well, if you had a fear of God, you should have at least put the money in the bank. You should have done something with it because of that fear of God. The truth of the matter was, he didn't have fear of the Lord because he was lazy. And the cloth he buried it in the Gospel of Luke says, if you look at the translation of it in the Greek, it's a sweat cloth, something you would wipe your brow when you're working hard. Well, he wasn't planning on working hard, so he just used a sweat cloth to to bury the money in, because he was lazy to start with. He was an unfaithful servant. So the Lord used his assessment and his false excuse to, in a sense, condemn him. And so, again, because he wasn't faithful. But as we're faithful in whatever God has given us, then he can trust us with much. See, it's a character trait that he wants in all of us, that he wants to develop in all of us. But here's the thing we have to get. Like when we get, I always say when we get to heaven, but heaven's coming here. Yeah. Jesus is going to rule and reign over this earth. Yeah. What's your position going to be then? How close are you going to be to the Lord then? He is the prize. It's not that the greatest in the kingdom is going to be servant of all. And so we have no awareness of how wonderful that's going to be. I know that the neatest thing will be as close to Jesus as we can because of that relationship, because of that love. It's not that I want to be ruler over five cities after pastoring all these years. I don't want to rule over nothing. It's going to be better there because we'll have a glorified body, and maybe Jesus will give us all a rod of iron to keep things straight. But anyways, it's the whole point of being faithful with what he's given you to do and developing that in your own life. You guys are always faithful. You're faithful in so many ways. But there's always areas in our lives where maybe we haven't been faithful. And so then we have to work on those areas. But it's going to have a great result on our eternal destiny. Jesus said, those who overcome, I will give to sit with me on my throne. Wow. Even as I have overcome, my Father gave to sit with me on his throne. That's where I want to be, seated right next to Jesus, with him on his throne. That closeness. And we're called the bride of Christ. But we're still courting. We're not the bride yet. The marriage supper hasn't taken place yet. So the unfaithful servant won't be part of the bride, maybe. Anyways, those are things we need to think about. It is a spiritual principle that God will take the goods from the unfaithful and give them to the faithful. So Jesus said, the one servant who had the talent and didn't do anything with it, take that talent away from him and give it to the one who has more, who has five or who has 10, because whatever you have, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have will lose even what he has. Really, really important spiritual principles that we understand this is the way our Heavenly Father is. Also about this forgiveness from the heart, Jesus spoke all these parables, and that's in John chapter 18, the unmerciful servant. See, here we're talking about the unfaithful servant, but the unmerciful servant who was forgiven much and then didn't forgive somebody that owed him a little bit, The master turned them over to the jailer so that he should be tortured till all should be paid. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you if you do not forgive from your heart. So in other words, if we don't forgive from our hearts, then the word forgive means to release. Then we are not released. And we have this unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment in our heart. And demons can come and oppress us because we are willfully walking in the kingdom of darkness instead of forgiving. We've been forgiven for all of our sins. What right do we have to hold a sin against someone else? So we have to live this message to have the benefit of it. Otherwise, it's just words in a book. And so this is how our Heavenly Father treats us. This is the way the kingdom is set up. Why? Because his throne is built on righteousness and justice. Even though he loves us, he's going to be righteous and just with us. He was righteous and just when he sent Jesus to the cross to pay for our sins. We benefited from that, didn't we? So we have to be righteous and just also. So all of these are spiritual principles. This is the heart of our Father. This is the way he wants us to understand him so that we can work with him, cooperate with him, live for him. He's already given us everything in the new birth, but it's these principles that I realize that when I make mistakes, I ask for forgiveness. I make it right with God. I make it right with the people. If I got to apologize to them or do something, whatever, I keep checking my heart because I want to keep changing into the character of Jesus more and more. It's a lifelong process every day, every hour of every day. And the more sensitive we become to God, then our heart becomes more sensitive and our conscience is more sensitive. And then we know quicker that we've done something wrong, but we've got to be quick to repent. Our heart will make excuses for it, but because the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. So we have to really be careful. I really can't trust my own heart because it wants to be right. It wants to judge or justify everything that it's done. It's really hard for some people to admit that they're wrong because pride sets a high standard, and pride won't let you admit that you're wrong. It's embarrassing. It's this, it's that. Yeah, but it's going to bring spiritual death to you also. So it's a spiritual principle that God will take the goods from the unfaithful and give them to the faithful. Esau sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son of Isaac to his younger brother Jacob. And Jacob was, the word Jacob means a deceiver. He was a deceiver, but he was faithful. And he was renamed Israel. Saul, through disobedience, lost his kingdom to David. So whatever I've sacrificed and suffered to be obedient, as Paul said, let's live where we're at and then press on for the mark of the high calling. My character has drastically changed since I've become a Christian. I don't want to lose that. So I got to keep living for Jesus so that I can become more like him. If I just sort of give up and quit reading my Bible or quit praying or quit thinking about it, I'm going to lose what I had. You never stand still spiritually. Yeah, you go forward, you press on for the mark of the high calling, or you go backwards. And some people think, oh, well, I've suffered enough. I'm just going to relax now. I'm older. I've done my duty. I've done this. I've done that. But then they can get more ornery and more miserable, too, because it can all come back. It's so amazing how God has created us and how our hearts work. How many know that we're not perfect yet? We all still have some rejection, some rebellion, and some pride. But see, if we stop living for Jesus, that can start to rise up and get stronger again because we're not pressing on for the mark of the high calling. And then what you've worked so hard to gain, you end up losing again. It's really the way it should be, isn't it? I mean, if you work hard, make a lot of money to support your family, and then you just start spending it stupidly and goofing off, and then you end up being a pauper when you die. Nothing left for your kids. Well, it's the same principle. So we don't do that. We buy a home, we pay it off, we have some, save some money for a rainy day, whatever we do, because we work so hard to make it, we don't want to lose it all. I know my brothers all and sisters all worked really hard. You know, most of them end up being multimillionaires, but they're not out there throwing their money away. They're still looking after it. I don't think they're going to leave any to me, but they'll leave it to their kids anyways. So it's to enable believers to experience fellowship with the Father and to hear his voice clearly. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 12. This is a very, very... I remember this from years ago. When we had our Bible school, we were teaching all these things all the time. Numbers chapter 12. This is about Miriam and Aaron opposing Moses. Moses was the younger brother, I think, wasn't he, Calf? And so God chose Moses to bring the people out of Egypt. Miriam was his older sister. Aaron was his oldest brother. You know, it's really hard for an older brother and older sister to submit to a younger brother, isn't it? You all realize that, don't you? I was the youngest of my family, so none of them listened to me. They still don't. But I pray for them. And so their argument was, you think the Lord only speaks to you, he speaks to us too. So verse 4, at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house. With him I speak face to face. What does that tell you about faithfulness? See, we develop faithfulness in our life because of our faith in God, because of the new life that he's given us. We will get to know him and understand this kingdom and his ways, that he will speak to us face to face. We used to teach this in recognizing the voice of God in Bible school. I said, if I'm walking down the street and I need to hear from God, I don't want to lay down and go to sleep and get a dream. I want to hear from God because I need to hear now. I can't always sleep on the street anyways. It's hard enough sleeping at night in bed. And visions, everybody getting visions. Well, I saw this, but I'm not sure what it means. See, but if we're faithful, develop this faithfulness, we will know what he's saying. He will speak to us face to face. Clearly and not in riddles. Clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against him, and he left them. Wow, God straightened that out in a hurry, didn't he? So the more we are faithful because of our faith, then everything is enhanced because of that. We are not faithful because we hear his voice. We hear his voice because we are faithful. When I first became a Christian, I just started doing what I knew to do. And as I developed faithfulness, then all of this became more real. His voice was more clearly. Well, we went through a phenomenal testing, and we were faithful in that. And after that, all of my lessons came supernaturally from the Lord. All of my direction, all of my guidance. It's not like I'm hearing from God every minute of every day. But, you know, when we started the church, I said, Lord, what's this church about? And he took me through a whole bunch of stuff, a book that I read and some other things, and showed me what he'd been doing in the last 50 years. And he said, that our church was to prepare God's people for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That has never changed. He supernaturally took us to Egypt. He put North Africa on my heart for about 6 months. And I thought, North Africa, why would I want to go there? I don't even know anybody there. I didn't know a soul. And so I just kept shoving it away because I thought, it's just a silly thought that I'm having. And then after a few months, it just kept getting stronger and stronger. And I thought, well, maybe I should go over there and pray. Well, why should I go over there and pray? I don't even know where to go. I could stay here and pray. You know, I just reason everything out logically. And then one day, there was a ministerial meeting that I attended because I was head of the ministerial at that time. And one of the guys said that there's a pastor from Egypt living in Kitchener looking for people to go to Egypt and teach. And that's what I wanted to do was teach. Before that, I was so frustrated. Lord, I'll go anywhere. I'll go wherever you want, even if it's only to teach 10 or 15 people. And then when he said that, my heart went boom one time. I remember movie Red October where they're pinging the other boat, just one ping. And it just went boom one time. I phoned that guy up, and 2 weeks later, Kathy and I were on an airplane going to Egypt. We spent 10 years there going back and forth. And God did so many wonderful things, brought revival in the most religious setting in the most dangerous area of Egypt where we had guards 24 hours a day. But I never felt worried about it because God sent me. He's going to look after me. See, just divine direction, supernatural appointments, divine guidance. And it wasn't like I was hearing his voice every day, but major directions, he would just speak to me so clearly, so loudly, I knew that's what I had to do. And it was probably 6 years ago or so where he said, what you're doing overseas, you need to do here. And so that's why we started Regional Churches Kingdom Networking and Unity and working together, because that's all the things he was doing overseas through us. And so it's being faithful in everything, and you will have clear direction. You won't be making major mistakes in hearing from God. And otherwise, you'll get your own ideas of what you should do or where you should go or how you should spend your time and all of these things. But you want to be in the will of God, and faithfulness is what will keep you in the will of God. He will guide, he will direct you because you will understand him. You will know how he works. You will know when he's speaking to you. There's times where the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and I thought, that could be just my own thoughts. And then the next thought would come, no, it's me speaking to you. Oh, okay, I'll listen this time. Years ago, he told me to redo all our Bible school courses. I thought, why? The Bible school is shut down. We don't have any more students, so I didn't do it. Then when we started going to mission field, they wanted all our Bible school courses, so I had to redo them, take the Canadian content out and just pure kingdom teaching. And so we had to do that in a hurry then. But the Lord had told me to do it a few years before that. So faithfulness, you didn't know there's that much goodness in the fruit of faithfulness, eh? But this is when you get digging in the Word and understanding these things, it just, the Lord just quickens all this stuff to you. All right, so it's to enable believers to experience the joy of pleasing the Father and enter into his happiness. I am content in my heart. You know, some people want 500 people in the church. I think we got about 17 or 18 here this morning. I'm happy with that. That's what the Lord has for us, then that's fine. I don't need 500 because drive me nuts and I'd be too busy changing their spiritual diapers all the time. I wouldn't be out there doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't be able to do what God has called me to do because I wouldn't have time. So you have to understand everything from God's perspective. So I'd rather have you guys, faithful ones, than everybody just all over the place. It counts not how much we can do for God, but whether we were faithful to what God told us to do. This is a problem many times with young pastors than it was with me. I just wanted to do as much as I could for God, but I was doing more than what he had asked me, and it was even prophesied to me, and I still didn't get it because I had such a work ethic from farming that I just wanted to go, and keep going. But I was doing too much. Kathy's still trying to slow me down. She's getting there. The heart operation helped slow me down. Faith can be selfishly motivated, but faithfulness to his will is obedience and relationship. Faith can be selfishly motivated. In a trial, is our emphasis to exercise our faith for some personal gain, comfort, and advantage? Or is our emphasis to please the Father in faithfulness to him and his word? That's a really good question for all of us. Because when you're going through the trial, it's not fun, is it? The Bible says, count it all joy, because it's the testing of your faith. So I'm going through a trial. The attitude I should have, I, not talking about you guys, is that, all right, I'm going through this trial. Maybe I'm not even sure what God is doing, but I need to be faithful to him, faithful to his word. So what do I do according to his word and his character in this trial? Whatever the trial may be. First of all, I don't feel like doing anything, so I need to get into the word concerning whatever it may be that I need to do in accordance with his will and go through this trial knowing that I'm going to come out stronger if I operate in faith and I'm pleasing God. Now, the other way that we usually go through trials is, oh, God, make this go away. Oh, God, do this for me. Oh, I don't like this. Why does this always happen to me? You see the difference? So we're praying in faith. God, take this away from me. See, I'm trying to get rid of this because I don't feel good. But the Bible says, count it joy going through a trial because it's the testing of your faith. And it tempers our faith. It tempers our character. It makes us stronger. And so just go through the trial. Over the years, Kathy and I have gotten used to this, and we look at each other and say, this too shall pass. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. We're going to get through this. And so you just get a different attitude about this problem, because if all you do is confess negative and your emotions and your feelings, you're never going to have the faith to get through the trial. So then you got to keep going through the trial because he's got a purpose for you, and he's got to get you stronger so that you can fulfill that purpose. See, everything I've gone through in the last 35 years is to get me ready for what I'm doing now. And even now, since we started Kingdom Unity, wow, God brings all kinds of scriptures to me that I need to understand concerning unity and my attitude and how to do it and my character. And like, he never stops working, because it's a whole different level of functioning in the body of Christ. And but because I've been faithful all these years, I'm learning, I've got to a point where I rest in him. I'm not concerned about anything because he's going to do it. But I still have to oversee everything. And sometimes you get some ornery people you have to deal with because they haven't grown yet. So I got to learn afresh to do that all over again. But it gives me the principles and the understanding of how it's supposed to work and how to put it together. And so he gives me that because I'm fulfilling what he wants me to do. See, you can't do something like that unless you're called to it. You can't pastor unless you're called to it, because If you want a pastor, probably you need the wisdom of God for every circumstance and situation. And when I started pastoring, I only had 1 year of Bible school. And I'd never read the word of the Bible in my life before that, hardly. And so every time I needed an answer, I went to the Lord and went to the Word. And he just kept showing me what to do. And he would warn me about certain things. And you know, during all of that time, it wasn't like I was acutely aware that I was hearing from God. I just knew it was right, so I did it. But it wasn't like, you know, I used to try and listen for God's voice. And one day the Holy Spirit said, if you never heard his voice, how would you know it was him if you heard it? Okay, never thought of that. Then I realized God spoke to be through my thought life. Well, I knew how ornery I was, so I knew what thoughts were mine and what thoughts were his real quick. Things you learn from experience, eh? Yeah. Oh, wow. It's about time to wrap up here. All right, just let me finish here a couple statements. So we need to be faithful to God's programs. We need to be ministers of reconciliation. We need to be faithful to your local church, faithful to a trust. Whatever is in your care, finances, business, whatever the Lord has blessed you with, you need to be faithful in that because he is God of every area of our life. Faithful with your work. If you're working for an organization, you have an ornery foreman, do your work as unto the Lord, not for that foreman. Please the Lord. You do that, you'll do such a good job that they'll give you a promotion. And you'll do it so sweetly that ordinary foreman is liable to get saved. See, it's faithfulness to God, not to the company you're working for. Faithful to your marriage, faithful to everything. That's what develops character in us. Every believer should desire to someday hear the Lord say to them personally, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, I'm waiting for those words. But I'm going to wait till I get there. The desire comes from the attributes of faithfulness in your born-again spirit. Proverbs 20:6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Wow. Proverbs 20:6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. A faithful man who can find. See, if men are proclaiming their own goodness, it's all about self and me. But faithful is about sacrifice and living for Jesus and faithfulness to him and his character and his kingdom and his way of doing things. That's faithfulness. Psalm 101:6, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. That's Psalm 101:6. Anyways, we're going to end there, and next week we'll talk about the functions of the fruit of faithfulness. Can I share something? Yep, sure. Go ahead, honey.
Yeah, no, just to go back to Africa.
I made a promise to the Lord too. I said, get me out of this mental institution and I'll do whatever you want. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do and say whatever you want me to say. That's why I'm sold out to the Lord. It's better than being in a mental institution. What do you think he did with King Nebuchadnezzar? 7 years, he's out there eating grass, living like an animal. Then the Lord brought him back to himself. God has ways of getting us to do what he wants us to do. So it's best to be obedient and faithful. That's the easy road. The other one is not so nice sometimes. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love, Father, but thank you also for righteousness and justice and your faithfulness, Father, that you are the Lord God and you change not, that we can count on your character. Lord, in every sphere of life, that if we sow to the flesh, we know we're going to reap corruption because your word says so, because you are a just God. Your throne, the way you rule, the way you govern is in righteousness and justice, but your character is love. And your will is that none should perish, but all come to eternal life. So, Father, we just want to be faithful. We want to develop faithfulness in our lives. We want to hear your voice clearly so that we can fulfill every purpose that you have for each one of us, Father, so that when we finally stand before you, you can say, well done, good and faithful servant. To this end, Lord, and by your grace, we pray that we would fulfill every purpose you have for us, Father. Keep teaching us, Holy Spirit. Reveal truth to us in every circumstance, that we can work all of these fruit of the Spirit into our lives to become more like you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this practicality of Christianity out of your word, Father, that your word is so deep and it goes so far and it's endless in every little point. This is just faithfulness, and it takes 3 weeks just to get a proper perspective on it, Father. Never mind all the other fruit of the Spirit, but we thank you, Lord, that you are instilling in our hearts a deeper awareness of you. And Holy Spirit, bring all these things back to our remembrance when we need it. When we're not faithful, you're still faithful, Lord. And Holy Spirit, continue to be faithful and bring this back to our memory when we're not faithful, and show us exactly that we're wrong and what we're doing, and that we need to be faithful to you and faithful to the Lord in all character, all decisions, all actions that we do. And though we fail many times, we know that you always remain faithful. So we're not worried about losing you. We're just worried about going in a direction that we don't realize and getting deceived. So we want to stay close to you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What do you want done with the tables today, yes, Pastor Bill?
Tables, we want 3 rows, 5 tables in each row, facing in that direction.